are listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast that dares to ask, am I the friggin' bad guy here? I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might also know me as Mark Carbonza, the guy behind the Am I the Bullist column over at CommandersHerald.com. And as on every episode, I am always joined by two very sweet, very fun people. We share the same office, even though we're in completely different cities. Stretching all the way to office space number two, because I'm in office space number one, called it Shotgun, Montreal. All the way in the Chicago office number one, we've got, you might know him as Games Freak SA, the guy behind the How They Brew It column over at CommandersHerald.com. But, you know, our us pals and fans, we know him as Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
Mike, I got my $5 commander deck down to a $4 commander deck. I'm feeling really good about it.
How'd you do that?
I cut a dollar's worth of cards.
Well, that doesn't
think before you ask stupid questions, Mike.
You know what? You're right. I should think better. Anyway, also joining us is someone who would have never asked that question because she's a damn genius. It's our producer slash super genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Mikes. Every week, I get better and better at math, secretly, because of our proprietary voting system.
Secretly. You secretly get better at math, as opposed to how publicly people get better at math, which is very fun.
Usually when the government takes you down for committing tax fraud, that's when you publicly get better at math.
That, you know what? That's a great way to put it. Hey, you know what? I'm kind of feeling a little tax fraud-y myself. Is it that time of year for you, too?
It is. It sure is. I can't wait for the tax deadline to come by and for me to not do my taxes.
Whoopsie, Michael, it's a knock at the door. The government.
It's smothering tithe.
You're both correct.
Absolutely. You know what, guys? Let's just kick it right off with something, because before we get into opening the phone lines, Morgan, you had quite the success with Cardsphere and getting your Vein Ripper, and I am, as we are pals and I follow you online, I've noticed that you have another card in your sights.
So, you know what's funny is that Jason Alt tweeted about how Lumbering Megasloth was starting to see Legacy play, apparently.
Wild.
So
crazy.
For those in the audience who don't know, Lumbering Megasloth is from the Fallout Universes Beyond set, and it is a big sloth. It is a Megasloth, if you will. It costs 10.
We should read it, actually.
10 GG. And yes, wow. This spell costs 1 generic mana less to cast for each counter amongst players and permanents. Wow. It has trample and it enters the battlefield tapped. And the fun part, the funner part, is that this is a 8/8 sloth mutant.
Excuse me. What?
So it's a big boy. And so Legacy.
It's a real big boy.
Naturally said, here's a big boy that I can cast for potentially 2 mana, 2 forests, if you will. This sloth does not need a lot of trees because he's just going to be blowing through stuff.
I have no idea how this deck works.
I couldn't tell you either because I don't know how to play this game. I'm just reading what's in front of me. But I do know that the surge foils of this are starting, at least on Cardsphere, hitting like almost $100. So if you opened one of these, let's get on that marketplace. Let's send it to somebody who
is named Morgan Sanchez,
like me, is in desperate need of foils and foils only, and is also a big fan of anything hype and anything sloth. It's so easy, wow. Folks. Just
I'm
go do it.
I'm seeing it right now. It involves Dark Depths, which enters the battlefield with 10 counters on it. So that's your land drop immediately turns your 8/8 trampler into 2 mana 8/8 trampler. Just by playing one land, and of course it's running Yavimaya and maybe Urborg, if that would make sense. Well, no, probably not make sense because of the green pips, but you know, you got Elvish Spirit Guide in there. What else is doing this? It's like, what's that? Does Amulet of Vigor make it not enter tapped? Maybe? And what does it matter? It doesn't have haste. Who cares?
If I wanted to see a gigantic lumbering sloth, I would just take a look at my cousin.
Oh, damn. I thought you were going to be like, I just go over to Mike's mom's house and you would do a yo mama joke.
What did you just say? Hold on. What did you just say about my mom?
I'm talking about my mom.
Oh, then it's okay.
But I'm
then.
Not talking about my mom. I'm talking about you insulting my mom, but she's a nice lady.
I like the way that you phrase
it. She is a nice lady. She's not lumbering either. She's fast.
She's very fat. She's spry.
She has haste.
She's got haste. She's spry at an old 65. So you're looking for a lumbering mega sloth in foil, specifically a surge foil?
So here's the thing.
Okay.
Jason tweeted about that like a couple days ago when this first happened. And he's like, everybody called it, right? And I said, I need one of these right now. So I retweeted it and I said, somebody send me this frickin' sloth. So
please.
On Cardsphere,
you were very kind about it.
For my wants, I put this lumbering mega sloth, just the regular foil, the surge foil, because that's crazy. Ain't nobody got money for that. But if you do, get it. And so I said, I want to offer like 125% of what the market value price of this was. And I think it was like $18. And I kid you not, 10 minutes later, got the email. Somebody's sending me a foil lumbering mega sloth.
Gorgeous. Love that for you. You know what I've got? I also have a Cardsphere story this week because of Nuka-Cola vending machine.
I want that one too. I want that one too.
That is one of the better cards on the set, actually.
It's incredible. And here's the thing about it is that I wanted it real bad. I thought, hell yeah, get me this friggin' thing. I would love this in my Mike and Will deck, which obviously I don't care about universes beyond in that deck. Am I right, Stranger Things kids? And basically what I did with that is I was like, look, I'm going to just go with the going rate. I'm not going to undercut anybody. I'm just going to go at what the card is worth, which according to Cardsphere was like $13 for the foil Pip-Boy version.
The
showcase one, which people seem to hate. They're like, it looks awful. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm enjoying it quite a lot. And I got one and it came so quick. And now it's just been on my desk and I haven't had time to put it in the deck yet, but I know exactly where it's going and I know what's coming out, and I'm fine with being a combo jerk with this deck. I'll tell you, it's all engines from here. You telling me that, oh, Academy Manufacturer, Clark Clan Ironworks, Nuka-Cola vending machine, okie dokie, gimme, infinite all of it.
Is this another card that you have to cut from the 147 card deck that
okay,
you currently have?
All right. No, or, that's a different deck.
Oh, this is the 200 card cut one. This is a different deck.
No, it's not. It's very different. This is just how I build my decks, okay? I open up Architect and I keep adding cards to it until I think I've got enough bones to pick from.
And I keep eating just one more chip and eventually the whole bag of Cool Ranch is gone.
Okay,
I don't know where it went.
What are you talking about?
That is your approach to building decks.
No, that's not the approach. The approach is to find anything that would work.
I don't know how this happens, where people end up with like 50 cards where they have to cut. Like, do you not have like a brain filter that's like, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't run.
No, you know why?
Lumbering Battlement in my deck.
Okay, no one's running Lumbering Battlement in this deck.
The sloth is fine.
No, here's the thing.
Thank you, Salami.
What I was doing.
You're welcome.
Okay, so
I only intend to antagonize. Go ahead.
Guys, listen up, all right? This deck is sick, okay? And it's not 147 cards anymore. It's 106 now, which isn't so bad. And honestly, if I have enough sleeves for it, I'll just run it as is. I do not care, all right? I don't. I simply do not. I have decided I have an Ariette deck that I decided was good and fun and very nice, and it's just been land auras. I've been doing land aura Ariette. I've been having fun with that. But then I saw Three Dog, the new card from Fallout. Three Dog Galaxy News DJ, who says whenever you attack, you may pay two and sacrifice an aura, attach a Three Dog, and when you sacrifice an aura this way, for each other attacking creature you control, create a token that's a copy of that aura attached to that creature. I've never played an aura deck like this. I've never done like the go wide but still Voltron up a thing. And I've always I like Ariette. I like the idea of going wide and still doing death by a thousand cuts. So I decided Secret Commander deck. I've never had a Secret Commander deck. I threw Gen in the command zone, Gen Arcanum Weaver, and Three Dog and Ariette are in the deck, and I'm running tutors. Wowee. A first for me. I don't run tutors. I don't touch tutors. You know why? I'm Bullish doing it because behavior. I have secret commanders. I have secret commanders, which I've always said is the caveat, one of the caveats. So I'm finally doing it.
Oh, no.
I'm putting money where my mouth is. And this deck rips. It's been so much fun. And I've been having a great time. I'm going through this list over and over again. I'm using the playtester. And it's just, I don't know. It's harder and harder to cut the cards because the cards are so sick. The deck's fun. What do you want from me? Of course I'm going to keep adding cards if I'm like, oh, you know what would be pretty friggin' cool? The last of the three runes that I've decided to add from Kaldheim. Ooh, look, they're all performing well. What if there was another unquestioned authority? Let me throw that in here. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm going after. And I'm making concessions. Like, I had anger in the list, and then I found that maybe Bitter Reunion is the better move. You know what I mean? Like, I'm finding ways to turn instants and sorceries or creatures and enchantments into aura specifically. And I'm trying to make that work more. And I like that. I think it got me in a brew place, and I'm feeling a buzz about Magic the Gathering. Sue me, all right? Send me to jail.
I'm not upset that you're talking about how you brew it.
Yeah, right. How you brew it, how they brew it, how them's one, brewing the ring brewing.
Go one ahead. Could say this is how you're brewing it, but you're also cooking. And you're cooking. Like,
baby, I'm cooking.
Who we've got on the switchboard right now. We've got Commander Cookouts Ryan ready for us.
Uh-oh, CCO Ryan, let's hit it! Oh, that's the wrong one.
Jesus, where'd it go? You don't
shoot him!
Well, hold on. Now we leave it.
How do you shoot a man through a phone?
Let's be professionals over here. Ken's going to edit all that out. Oh, boy. Can't wait to talk to this guy. Let's hear it. Caller on the line. You're live with Mikey Carrozza, Mark Carbonzo on the Am I the Bullcast. Who am I speaking to?
What is going down? You're speaking with CCO Ryan, runner, showrunner, operator, host of the Commander Cookout Media Group. Happy to be here.
Oh, hell yeah, Ryan. Keeping it Canadian this episode, baby.
Dude, we were already talking about accents and how you sound different than I do and how my sister sounds different than me, man. We're all over the place already.
We're going to get even further out all over the place. You're calling in. We're going to have ourselves. Sorry, Ken. It's another long one. We're going to have us.
I don't like to talk. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's as if I haven't been listening to you guys for years. I know you guys get on long runs and say thank you. And what else to the patrons? Who knows? Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. So, you have to listen to find out.
Yeah, Commander's Cookout. You guys have been around for quite some time now, huh?
Oh, it's
been
a while. Well, what does my shirt say? 2017 is when we launched our first episode. Yeah, we're almost on. Well, February of 2017 is when we launched. And I want to say, like, late November 2016 is when we started planning. And planning at that time was Brando and myself, like, trying out. Remember, like, a bunch of years ago, like, the hit or the fab thing was like going to Nintendo or gaming bars.
Oh yeah.
You know those, like, board games and those bars that have like different gaming consoles that you can play on and stuff. So
definitely,
we went to a bunch of those, and just every time we went, we just took like a notepad and made notes on our phone and stuff about topics and structure and stuff, and all that started in about 2016. And it's been, oh man, full tilt, balls to the wall ever since.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, you guys have developed more than just the Commander's Cookout after all these years. It's like you got another project happening.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Another one. Frick, man, I know. Okay, so you told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. So we got Commander Cookout. We got CCO Podcast proper, right? And
boom,
all of this now falls under what we're calling the Commander Cookout Media Group. The CCOMG is what we're calling it. And we've got CCO Podcast. That's Brando and myself.
I'm familiar with that.
Yep. Then we've got my solo show. It's called Commander Ad Populum. And when we start talking about pet peeves and the bolus, am I the bad guy kind of stuff, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to lean into Commander Ad Populum. It means commander for the people. That's what it's about. And that's who it's for. Yeah. And that's who it's made by, because it's like community topics, right?
Beautiful.
And then we've got the YouTube channel where the podcast is, and we're, what we've got coined as BBO, that's Brando's Box Openings, where okay. he does box openings. Yeah. And just recently, we kicked up season 2 of Commander Cookout's Sidewalk Slam, where we do gameplay with locals. And it's very reminiscent of, and I know that you'll remember, Battle of the Brews that Commander's Brew was doing. Remember?
You know who put me on to you guys was Andy and Sean from Commander's Brew. I moved to Toronto for 3 years, but I moved in 2017.
Yep.
Bumped into Andy like my first week there. I said, hey, I recognize your voice from the podcast I listened to.
Oh, no way.
And he's like, oh, you should hang out with us. And I was like, oh, what else?
Yeah, and that got you on the show.
You should check out these other guys. Yeah. Oh, buddy. Years later, you know, we ended up doing Battle of the Brews.
Yeah.
One of the most... Lot to toot their horn and, you know, consequently my own. But some of the best gameplay videos out there because of Sean was being so silly with the editing and then having us overlaid. It was so good.
Oh, man. And you know, because you're like them and you do the same kind of work, right? Those guys are funny.
That's so funny
stuff. And improv guys, like... It's one to be a stand-up comedian. It's another. It's like another thing to do theater, but like to do improv theater, man. And just to hear the kind of work that Sean does, where
Sidewalk Slam, reminiscent of Battle of the Brews. That's how we got there.
Very much so. We just launched Hot Brews and Lessons from CEDH with our friend John. He's been a longtime listener and patron of the show. And he had the Gemstone Mine podcast and YouTube page, and now he's doing content for Commander Cookout on YouTube, and we've got him his own podcast channel, and he's doing like all of the non-casual, non-mouth-breathing, non-drinking beer with your buddies kind of content that we think our audience would like. John's doing it. So he's talking to other creators. He's talking about like the techie side of magic.
Beauty.
He's talking about like... just lessons that you can learn and take away from playing at a higher competition level. John's doing that.
Nice.
And in the works, we've got another show. We got BBO, we got CCO. We're working on DDO. That's deep dives. I'm not sure what the O is going to stand for yet, but
DDO's a neighborhood in Montreal, man. That's what I was thinking. You say DDO, I think of where my brother lives.
DDO, and I think like DDR, Dance Dance Revolution. Maybe that's what our theme song is going to be like, but it's my good friend Mac. Man, I lost one time playing DDR to a guy with a broken leg. Man, couple
How'd
beers that
night.
How'd
you manage that? Wait,
we're
okay.
not going to talk about that.
You come on here with stories I want to hear and tell me I can't have them.
No, we can't. The editors, it'll just be one long beep for like 5 minutes. Yeah, no. We're already going long in the tooth and the editors are just going to be like, beep the whole time. But it's DDO is going to be my friend Mac and I, and we're going to be looking into like the history of Commander, like the cultural impact of sets and just the mechanics that were released and the hot cards that were released, almost like set reviews that are done on podcasts and YouTube pages now, but for sets that going backwards in time just didn't exist. And I mean, those sets, you look at Mirage or Tempest or Stronghold or...
Yeah, buddy.
Plus or minus 10 years either way, sort of. Like, content on those things doesn't exist unless it's like...
The resleevables.
A random YouTube video that you have to specifically search for or a written article that you can't find on WotC site anymore. Like, that kind of stuff.
I was just saying, I mentioned the resleevables because they going back to the first set and they're doing sequentially all the sets of Magic, but from a draft and limited or constructed perspective.
Yep.
And I was just thinking, it'd be so cool to have something like that for Commander, you know?
And you know what? I did a little bit of that with Commander Ad Populum, but because that's, when I call it my solo show, like literally it's me in the, like in studio CCO where I'm sitting now.
Nice.
Recording for, you know, 40 minutes to an hour, and then I edit it all and cut it down and post it and promo it, and I do all of it myself. So when you try and do that with a regular people job and other content and stuff, like, you can't I can't sit down and do a 2.5 hour set review. So they ended up being, we called them the set retros or the retro set remixes, right? They ended up being about half an hour worth of, these are the mechanics, these are some hot cards, these are some stories I remember, like, because I went backwards in time to when I started playing in around 2000, 99, 2000, 2001.
That's not far off from when I was playing.
Yeah, when, you know, Masks, it was terrible.
Arcadia Masks was,
Invasion, it was everything, came out, and then Odyssey came out, right? Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. I love that. Ooh, sometimes I'll go on to Scryfall, pick an old set, and go through the whole file.
Yeah.
Why won't you?
That's what we're doing on DDO. We're going deep dives. We're doing Commander history. We're doing the cultural impact, the metagame shifts. It's a deep dive, right? So
that's fun.
It's in the planning process. I mean, you kind of know about planning and that kind of stuff.
Oh, do I ever? So Ryan, you've got all this stuff going with the Commander Cookout Media Group.
Yep.
You got all that stuff going. You got a lot of shows happening. I want to know, what do you got? Give me something to chew on. What do you got? Ooh. What's a magic pet peeve, or do you have a bolus story for us? Where are you coming from? Call into the show. Tell us what you want to talk about.
Yes and yes. Okay. So
hell yeah, let's go.
There's, by the time this episode comes out, there'll be a bunch of bolus instances and stories and pet peeves I'm sure that I want to try and break the trend of, or buck the trend of.
Okay.
And it's not so much card choice. It's not so much in-game mechanics or things that people do in the game.
Okay.
It's more like, and I don't know how to describe it or put a bow on it, package it, or even quantify it, right? Like this, we're going ethereal on this one.
Let's do it.
Okay. So when I scroll through whatever it is, Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, any social platform where people can kind of just vomit out whatever they feel, and I see something like this.
Okay.
How do I do the dirtiest thing? How do I piss off my friends?
Yes!
Or when you can so obviously tell that somebody did something, how do I make my opponent pay for having 1,000 tokens, and somebody way overcompensates for some experience they had. Like their one data point is the be all and end all of their experience with the game. And I go to this because, and I talk about this lots on Commander Ad Populum, CAD Pop, I call it. Games are fleeting. And because they're fleeting, if you have a good one, savor it. Savor the good game and really kind of live in it and talk about it and relive the plays and the turns and the optimal kind of choices you made and where you or your opponents went wrong. Like, savor the good game. But also, because games are fleeting, if you have a bad one, just move on.
Maybe
your opponent did scumbag you, right? And that does happen, though not as often as it used to. New player, you should have played back in 2018. It was terrible. But maybe your opponent just had a fantastic game and you got stuck on 4 land, or you know, your soul ring into signet got caught up in a Vandal Blast and you didn't recover, right? Like, maybe you just had a bad game, and maybe those two things, opponent's good game, your bad game, happened at the same time. And if that's the case, just move on. Let it fleet by.
Right.
We should do our best job to help people kind of mentally, emotionally, mechanically work through why those kinds of things happen and move past as a bigger person, a better Magic player, a better member of our LGS community or our play group. And ultimately, when we can kind of take what Magic teaches us from a sportsmanship standpoint and apply it to our real life, make ourselves a better person by moving on after we've listened and learned.
And people
don't do that. People think this is a game and I want it to be fun and it wasn't fun and now I'm pissed off and now I have to do this one overcompensating thing.
I get that all the time.
Why do you want to do this?
I've been writing the column since Commander's Herald launched, right? About 2-3 years, right?
Yeah.
And every time I get a submission where it's somebody being like, you know what? I've been playing my playgroup for a very long time, and each time I get targeted for this or that, and one day I decided I'm going to put together a Grand Arbiter Argiston deck that's all counter spells, and I copy Grand Arbiter, and I make it really miserable until they all scoop. And I'm just like, hey, you can. That's fine if you want to do it. But hear me out. Have you tried talking to them? Have you maybe tried having a conversation with your buds?
Have you tried communicating like people?
First of all, like I'll give it to you where I'm at with my personal playstyle. I don't like tutors because personally, I feel like tutors are not within the spirit of a singleton format. However, I understand their utility. I understand how they can be fun. If, say, you have a secret commander in your deck, that could be fun. And, you know, but if you're using it as a toolbox, it's like, come on. What do you, to me, not that fun. Yep. Put way more draw on your deck. You'll enjoy that, too. But
sometimes even better to draw a card off the top of your deck and you get the right one. It's like, oh my God.
When you're hoping for a card and you're feeling, you're like, come on, I have two cards in my deck that can get me out of this jam and I hope I can get it. You pick up a card. It might not be one of those two cards. It might be. If it is, that's awesome. If you have a moment, you get to be like, I was hoping for this thing and I got it. Or you might draw something. You're like, well, I hadn't thought of that. That's also a great moment. You know what I mean?
That's the best. You pick it up and you're like, ooh. Okay. Right?
Either way, I had a chat with Angelo Guerrero about how he likes winning. His whole deal is Am I the Bull is for going for the win and in some strategies using cards that are a bit taboo, like Armageddon. And here's the thing. As a community, we've kind of gone, land destruction. That, you know, I hold my grudge against land destruction. But in the right circumstances, it ends a game very effectively, you know, Planeswalker deck, or it presents a new hurdle to bypass. You know, either I talked about it on that episode, I'll mention it here. I played a game where I was playing against an Irois God of Victory deck, where the idea is have a bunch of enchantments, make sure his devotion stays up, slam Irois, play land destruction and more board wipes because your creature, his Irois won't be going anywhere, and just slamming Irois in for commander damage to take down people in two hits, right? But I had Prosper. I had a Malakir Rebirth. I kept Prosper. I kept trying to find ways to stay in the game, and that was a very, very rewarding and fun experience. So land destruction, it's not all bad. I'm not going to hold a grudge towards land destruction in that instance because there was interplay and interesting stuff. But it's the people who see land destruction and then don't do anything after the fact.
Yeah. And you know what? That stems from that same pet peeve. And I don't want to beat a dead horse because not very many things are peeves to me. The peeve therein is when you say this thing online or you do this thing online and I take it at face value, like that's happening somewhere. And it probably is, but like millions of people play Magic, so I don't encounter it all the time.
Of course.
and that means several things. That means we're all in it for a chance to win. We're all engaging with a stack of 100 cards that are generally tuned to move towards victory at the same pace and under the same kind of circumstances, right? And if there is a person that sits down and says something like, this is my Armageddon Planeswalker deck, I made it to piss my friends off, I'll say, you know, maybe you should just play that with your friends. And you know, we're in Las Vegas. We don't know each other. Let's maybe play something that we know is going to work well with strangers or isn't going to lead to 3-hour games because I want to try and play 10 games today or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, there's all these ways or methods to communicate. And even if I'm giving up, like I'll play that deck or I'll play against it. If I concede that I'll play against it in a certain way where that player's expectations are tempered or changed a little bit in that, hey, letting you know, I'm going to play my deck that does this. I'm going to try and take you out so I don't lose my lands. Like I'm just letting you know that I don't want that, or I'm going to play a deck with a bunch of counter spells to counter your Armageddons, right? Yeah. I'm just letting you know. And that can kind of, you know, that player still gets to play the thing that they want, that they spent time and money and energy, mental energy on. They can still do that. And that doesn't really peeve me. But when they get peeved, when I try to take specific measures to make sure other people have fun, because they're not getting their lands destroyed. If they get peeved at me, that's that's peeveception, man. Like, I don't like that. I got the perfect example. I got, oh man, this is so
perfect. Is this your story?
This isn't the I'm the bolus story, but I do have one of those.
Okay. Yeah, well, hit us with the example. No. I mean, look, Ken knows it's a long one.
Ken?
I'm sorry, Ken. I really am. Ken's a good old Toronto boy, which is fun. So it's all Canadian.
Yeah. So I'm sitting with a guy who came to the LGS maybe first or second time ever.
Okay.
And really outgoing guy, really just like fun, cool to hang around with. Mm-hmm. And I go there lots, and like everybody knows, we've got the Commander Cook, and we kind of built this LGS community from the ground up with our friends first. Awesome. And then everybody joined in because Commander took over. This is like a couple years ago or a bunch of years ago. So this guy brings his, you already mentioned it, his Boros Land Destruction or Annihilate Everything Planeswalker deck. And I was playing whatever deck, and he specifically was targeting my stuff. And sure, fine, whatever. Maybe I was the threat. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Then he goes, for no reason, he didn't have any planeswalkers and nobody had creatures, like three or four cards in hand, maybe like turn six or seven. He goes like Armageddon or Decree of Annihilation. It was something that just nuked everything and nobody had nothing. And I said, Why did you do that? Strategically, it's not a very good play for you or to set anybody back. He goes, well, this is just my deck to piss everybody off. And I go, why do you bring that? Why do you play that? Well, I just like to see what people do when they get pissed off when they play Magic. And I go, dude, that's not really how we play here. He goes, yeah, see what you're doing when you get pissed off? And I go, I'm not pissed off, man. It just doesn't make sense. It makes the game not fun for anybody. He goes, well, I like pissing people off. That's what's fun for me. And no joke, like the other two players in the pod and two people from the pod next to us were like, hey, man, that's not really how we play here. Everybody's here to have a good time. And if our fun is sacrificed because you just want to piss people off, that's not very fun for us. And I think you're going to find it hard to like get opponents in the future if this is the kind of deck you bring. He goes, oh, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. And this guy, just from people talking to him and just like communicating our frustration is too strong of a word because we weren't angry.
I guess, but disappointment, fair. That, it's like, you know, it's a
disappointment or his kind of thing. His really, it was a countercultural strategy that he was playing.
Fair.
And he was doing it suboptimally. So he wasn't even doing a good job. And right. We just told him that kind of point blank. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, I could tweak this deck or I could play different stuff. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And never had a problem ever again. Just that's from awesome. People politely kind of disengaging with what he wanted to do. Because he was just trying to get under our skin. And that's just, it's not fair to us to have that happen to us or to go and expect to have fun and not have fun.
There we go. So you mentioned that you have a story of your own, one where you might be the bull.
Yeah. And you know what? It starts off bad, but it ends up being good. And it's the story of the game that I both won and lost at the same time.
And okay.
Not at the same time, but it was the same game. So,
okay.
I'm playing in Vancouver with my friend Aaron and his wife Amy and I don't remember his name. He was a CCO Nationalite guy and bought a hat for me and everything. So nice. Sorry, I don't remember your name if you're listening, but we'll meet again. So I'm playing my Bruvac Mono Blue Mill deck, and man, it's got counterspells and Force of Wills and Mana Rocks, and it wasn't like a CEDH deck at the time. But sure. You know, if you go Sol Ring, Signet on turn one, Bruvac on turn two, land drop, you know. Yeah. Maybe by turn three or four, you got six mana, you cast Maddening Cacophony and you mill the whole table and you win the game, right? Yeah.
So
that's what happened.
Okay.
That's what happened. And everybody was like, oh, this is the only game that we got to play together, Ryan. Like, that's kind of anticlimactic. And I go, you're right. I listened. I saw that what I did wasn't fun, though I still got the satisfaction of doing the thing, right? Milling everybody all at once as early as my deck at the time could do it. So right. I said, I'll tell you what, guys, I feel like kind of a bozo for doing that, but it's my combo. So how about we pretend that I just put that card into my graveyard and tap six land to do nothing, and we keep playing. I drew my card for the turn. I milled you guys, but don't mill your libraries. I'm going to pass the turn. And that game turned into about an hour, hour and 10 minute game where everybody got to do their thing. Everybody was open to the fun play and the play to get me back, right? Mm. Even though I kind of bowed out and said, okay, you guys go now. But they got me back. Like, I'll hit you for 25, or I'll nuke your whole board, or I'm going to like target just your stuff with my artifact destruction, right? And I had to like eat crow for an hour. And eventually I built back up and had like a little bit of blockers, and I was trying to go for the second mill on my friend Aaron or whatever. And then he did some Warhammer 40K combo thing and or synergy thing and ended up beating the table. And it turned out to be a fantastic game with three friends. And all I had to do was first be the bad guy to learn that what I did wasn't really okay. I listened. And then we ended up having a fantastic game.
Awesome.
So I hope that me being a kind of a bolus and kind of repenting,
yeah,
can be me leading by example.
So, you know, for the sake of this being, so we can have a discussion about it in the post chat thing here. I guess the idea is like, rather than it being an am I the bolus question, let's go with, What how do you treat getting your nut drop? Like when you're playing a deck that normally can do well quickly, but as quickly as that, you know, it sounds like you got your commander out turn two and then Maddening Cacophony, and, you know, by turn three, that's pretty nuts.
And she's over.
Yeah. That's ending the game right there. I've had articles where people are like, I have this Delina Wild Mage deck that it just turns out I had the perfect, you know, six card opener, and I told the table, like, guys, this is the hand to beat. Like, if I ever had to sculpt a hand like card by card and decide I can win by turn three, this would be the hand. I just got it organically. Do you want me to play through it, or do you want me to, you know, mulligan? Do you
think that's a fantastic way to do that? I like admission of guilt before, like, owning up to being the game winner before it happens. I think that's great.
And I think the discussion around that becomes like, well, how badly do you want to see the nut draw happen? Like, how badly do you want to see it in action? And other people will be like, well, I want to see if I can stop you before then, you know, and then that becomes its own game. And I think that there's also room for
some people want to see it play out. Like if there's some non-deterministic combo that like you need an exact seven cards for, but you're not sure if you're going to win because, you know, you might need to draw 10 cards. And if it's not the next exact 10, right? I think that's great.
Or like die rolling with Delina, for example, like you're rolling.
Yeah, exactly. If you need, in your pregame or your rule zero conversations where you're introducing yourself, your play style, your deck's power level or strategy, or some kind of common theme in your deck, like tutors, no tutors, all kinds of card draw, fast mana, whatever it is. If you, in that kind of thesis of your deck, say something like, it nut draw could kill you on turn three, but I need exactly seven cards to do it, or I need a four card combo to do it. If you say that, you're not really giving any information away. You're just letting people know that scenario exists. And by turn 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the likelihood of that happening goes up and up and up. If you don't say that and then that kind of thing happens, but you say, oh, I swear it never does this before. I've never had this before. Even if you're telling the truth, nothing seems less genuine than that. So if I were in that position, I would just make sure I'm upfront that I can do this.
The lie is unfortunately something you come across in a lot of, at least in a lot of the submissions I get. A lot of people writing in about people misrepresenting their deck. A lot of this deck's a seven, and then Mana Crypt.
All decks are sevens.
Yeah, exactly. What a bow to wrap this up on. Thanks again for calling in, Ryan. Appreciate you doing so.
Dude.
Everybody be sure to check out Commander Cookout and the Commander Cookout Media Group. I'm talking Commander at Populum. I'm talking about Sidewalk Slam. I'm talking about Commander Cookout Podcast. Brando's box openings. Oh, I'm remembering dude. All this stuff.
Look at him. Coming. DDO and lessons from CEDH. Because, man, I'm telling you, you can take all this player hate and stuff out of the game and just theorize about competitive commander.
Right.
And for me, it's so refreshing because it's like I'm thinking about the game again instead of thinking about people. And definitely check that out. And it's all available. You just have to search Commander Cookout. You'll be able to find it all.
Perfect.
CommanderCookout.com. I should probably say that.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's a much...
You should probably just say that.
It's a way easier banner to keep that under. CommanderCookout.com, everybody. Be sure to check it out.
Oh, man. It's thanks. Like we just got a website 6 years ago.
Thanks again for calling in, Ryan. We'll get back to the booth to Michael and Morgan.
My pleasure.
Wow. Can you believe it? CCO Ryan on the line. Thank you for calling in. Be sure to check out the entire Commander Cookout Media Empire and check out all the projects, Sidewalk Slam, Deep Dives, all of them. All right. So please check out what Ryan's cooking up. Morgan, we turn to you, buddy. It's time to chat about what Ryan is asking.
So Ryan's pet peeve is seeing people overcompensating to get even with their opponents on social media. These are the mile-long Twitter threads that talk about this one guy who you think is the bolus because he's trying to have fun. Maybe his deck's a little bit more fine-tuned than yours, but you lose against this person. So what's the best way you can get back at somebody be as mean and nasty and bolus-y as possible? Because you're obviously correct.
Jesus, could you front load this anymore?
I'm always a little confused when we come to get this question because we have it written down in a document. It's right here. I mean, right. Okay, so let's discuss it as proposed. Morgan, we got to describe the voting system as well. Please do the honors and tell us how we're voting.
Man, we got so much hate mail last time for it being too short, for it being too long. Maybe we'll go for like
just can't make up their minds.
Like a medium rare, medium long list of how the voting system works. So
what temperature is a medium long steak?
It's got to be just slightly over medium, but not well done yet.
6 feet.
I got this one. 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Which one of us is the professional comedian, ladies and gentlemen? Leave your comments down below.
Hey, that's not fair.
That would be a good guessing game.
That's not fair at all. All right, go ahead, Morgan. Tell us what the voting system is. When's this become the Bully Mike episode? When did that happen?
Well, see, we have to bully you because your vote counts for 3.
Yeah, you're right.
All right?
Ours only counts for 1.
All right, don't go. You don't have to go so fast into it, Solani. Wow.
Solani,
okay.
What the hell, dude?
All right.
What the hell, dude?
I guess it's Bully the other Mike now.
Now that we've lost our entire audience
New era!
With how this math works, we'll do it quick and fast. We'll see if we can figure it'll be like a puzzle that you can do within the show to figure out how the voting system works. But
do it.
Kuroza's vote counts for 3, mine counts for 1, and Solani's counts for 1.
Okay, good. Now that we're all caught up, let's discuss Ryan's pet peeve. Now it's hard to answer the question, am I the bolus about this? So I guess the question becomes, are these people who take to the social media to post on a group or a forum like, hey, I want to build this nasty deck because I don't want no friends anymore, or I want to get even because this guy, la-di-da. Are these people the bolus? Okay, that's, I guess, how we're going to attack this. Michael, you're on the clock. You've got 30 seconds.
What? That's not enough time for me to say not the bolus.
Explain why.
Look, Mike, revenge is a natural emotion, okay?
It's not an emotion.
And when you go on a journey of revenge, you're supposed to dig 2 graves. But we all know that EDH players, they have tables of 3 opponents. So really, they need to dig 3. I mean, don't lie to me. You're a little vindictive, right? Don't you ever feel like sometimes someone just keeps kicking you and hitting you when you're down, when you've got everything already going wrong for you, and they decide to just pile it on. You're not having fun. So go ahead. go ahead, be a little vindictive. And you know what? Getting the kicked out of you when that happens and you're losing anyway and everyone's like,
sorry, Ken,
ganging up against you, that's great too, because then you know that you're being a villain, but you're giving your table the opportunity to overcome the villain in a way that's realistic. You know, you could overcome this villain. It's not like
I did not expect rising gas prices
that you can't actually conquer. No, this is an opposition to your friends that they can actually conquer, and that's a great gift to give them. You're like a DM. So, you know, punish your friends, but only every so often, you know.
What is happening?
It's like Cheetos, you know, in moderation or literally.
God. What is happening? I don't understand how you came to this. Morgan, please tell me you have more sense than this. Clearly, I'm voting the other way. Morgan, go ahead.
No, Ryan is not the bolus for thinking that people take it too far in social media. That's it.
Okay. End of story. These people are the bolus.
Everyone on social media who has a mile-long thread about a card, about a strategy, about a combo, yes, they are the bolus. You are spending too much time on a thing that does not matter.
Oh my God, Voha debate.
That's not the question. That's not even the question. The question is, are these people who go out of their way to make decks and experiences to punish their friends in their playgroup, are those guys the bolus? That's what we're talking about.
It's the context.
Yeah, you missed the context, Mike.
I knew it. I knew it.
So
when
we have
three
different contexts, which is brilliant for a question like this. But in the end, the answer is all of those people are the bolus. All of them. Every single one.
Well, every single one, including the person who decides that they're excited about a card and go off about it for 20 tweets.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying? Okay, well, sorry to lots of our fans who like talking about Magic Online. You're the bolus this week. Not your fault. It's just how you're built.
It's like that time person of the year when it was you. Congratulations, audience. You are the audience.
I hated that. Anyway, we got it. Point is, I'm voting bolus. These people, first of all, we get these guys every now and then at the column. I say we. I get these guys writing in every now and then for the column at Am I the Bolus, where they're like, I have this playgroup, and they think of me as the best player in the bunch, and they target me unfairly. So what if I'm playing Winter Orb? What is the problem with that? And then they get targeted and they get mad, and it's like, well, if they think I'm so bad, wait till they see me actually trying to be bad. I'm going to build the most oppressive deck to show them that I am actually evil if they want me to be. And you know what? Those guys are the villain, quite literally, in their own words. What's the matter with you? Anybody, look, you're the bolus, full on. But let me just address this because it came up in Ryan's call talking about Facebook groups. Every now and then, I'll pop over to Facebook to see how my family's doing. But then there's the Magic groups that I joined long ago that are abuzz with either new cards or somebody goes, hey, how do we make this the most broken commander? Yeah, I don't want any friends. And it's like send triplets or like whatever, like Don Andres had this treatment for a little bit where they're like, I want to make this so miserable to play against. And it's like, dude, why do you like this game? Like, if you want to make people miserable, it feels like you could benefit from Grand Theft Auto 5 through 1, maybe even 6 when that comes out. But buddy, like, you know that's out there. You can get in a car and crash it into a building. And I feel like that might be more cathartic than putting so much effort into a goddamn deck that you'll get to play twice with your friends who no longer want to play with you or speak to you anymore.
Like, and what the fuck are you talking about?
These losers really upset me. That's what it is.
Please. All right. I'll say it again, do not shoot anyone because I feel like we're getting very close to that bar.
No. I'm saying only in a video game. Don't murder anybody.
You can't. No, no.
I'm talking about specifically Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty. If you're going to be this much of a loser fucking and go out of your way to post on Facebook and be like, hey, I want to make my friends miserable in this game we love and share. Them, right? Those guys, huh? How about that? Hey, you're the villain. Go f*** yourself. Stop playing this game. I don't need you in my environment.
I've never seen you this mad. I've never seen you this mad.
These are the people that make me the most upset. In Magic, these are the people that make me the most upset. Those who go out of their way to make a deck so spiteful and in their own words, a miserable time to play against. Just truly, like, anyway, so I guess I'm voting Bolas. Anyway.
So adding all that math up together, in case you weren't taking notes during the...
I don't think you can quantify Mike's hatred here with a number.
Yeah,
I think well, it's like we an can,
I have no
Solani.
Mouth and must scream right, scenario.
Please don't discount
we listen to the
math
genius,
when math is here for us. Yeah, please. Okay. You can't just throw away comment like that, Solani. All right. We can quantify it. All right. And we quantify it with the number 3. Just like how for you and I, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, no matter what context we provide, is quantified with the number 1.
And there you have it, folks.
I had a rational, reasoned, well thought out argument.
So did I,
and it was
Dick.
Just thrown out.
My reasoning was good, too. These guys are miserable. They are doing it out of malice and hate.
You already did your diatribe.
And I let's will keep on. Going. All right. So here we go. Let's move on from that, shall we? So, yeah, if you're the kind of person that needs to get even or get back at your opponents / play group, shake it off. Games
Stop
are fleeting. If you have one bad game, move on. Maybe your opponent just sucks. And guess what? There's another game coming. Isn't that beautiful? There's another game coming. You know? Isn't that nice? That's something I gotta get better at, I think. It's just acknowledging that there's another game coming. That's fun. So how do you guys feel? You feeling good?
I'm feeling concerned. I mean,
there's another game coming unless this is like a life or death situation. Like if it is your last game and you're fighting to the death, there is not another game coming. You can be that person.
A shadow realm game version.
Yami Yugi comes up and is challenging you to a commander game, and it's going to be the last commander game if you don't beat him.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
He's from the anime series One Piece.
Oh, okay. Well, doesn't sound like it's for me, but I appreciate that you guys like stuff, and I like getting to know you better. Is there anything you guys wanted to bring up before we call this episode to a close? Because it does feel like my rant ate into a lot of time.
I mean, what is a podcast if we don't have one of the hosts breaking down in a megalomaniacal rant?
I'm sorry.
About this something is they just- dislike.
This is such an unfair description. I don't think that I think that you're misinterpreting my yelling for a lack. Like, I have good points and good reasons, and I think I presented them. These guys suck because it's out of malice, and it's a game that we all want to enjoy. And how dare you? I don't know what there is to it. All these people, if you're on the internet being like, I want to make my friends angry and I want them to hate me, seek help. Find other ways to release that kind of weird energy you've got going on. Well, I think that's going to be the end of the episode. I don't think we have enough time to keep going for a little bit. So I'm just going to say thank you so much for listening, for putting up with me yelling in your earphones or in your car speakers or whatever you're listening to or watching this. I love you very much. This might have something to do with an article that I just finished writing. And if you want to know which one it is, just check out the archive under my name at commandersherald.com. It might literally just time out perfectly where this comes out today and then tomorrow the article drops. So please check that out. And also don't forget to follow us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter, and follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. That's my personal stuff. You can find my linktr.ee/Mike Carrozza, and that's where I've got fun stuff like my gigs for comedy and an upcoming release and stuff like that. I'll be doing comedy all over the place, so keep an eye out on that. And my other podcast, We Didn't Get a Rose, which is a rom-com podcast as well. So please check all that stuff out. Make sure to follow Michael and Morgan. Michael, where can people find you?
You can find everything that I do at gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters, S-A, gamesfreaksa.info.
Tight. And Morgan, where can people find you?
My entire stream of consciousness is at Indigo Gentleman on Twitter.
Nice. And don't forget, check out Morgan's Card Sphere. She is the most active of us, and chances are she's got something on that list that you might be able to just send her. So thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another caller calling in. Who could it be? We don't know. Aye, aye, aye.